From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 18th day of October 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Champaign County. In agricultural news, U.S. EPA's E15 label, unlike the ruling, is not setting well with the ethanol industry. The CEO of Cargill says agricultural prices do not reflect the global commodities crises. And the U.S. Treasury has reported China is increasing its investment in America. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And I'll tell you a bit more about the RINs market. That's R-I-N-S, and it stands for Renewable Identification Numbers, assigned to ethanol. And that can be used in place of actual gallons of ethanol in years, well, maybe like this one, to meet the federal RFS mandate. Hey, don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures in the wheat pit finished 14.5 cents lower at $6.90. The March at 7.27¾ for the soft red, down 13. And the July harvest month at 7.56¾, 8.5 cents lower. December hard red at 7.32 in Kansas City, down 13 cents. Back in Chicago from the Port of Trade, CME Group, $5.57¼, the December settlement price. For the corn, down 5¾. March at 5.69¼, down 5¾. And May corn at $5.75¼ a bushel, down 5.5 cents. July futures, 5.77¾, down 4¾. December corn, unchanged today at $5.16¾. November beans, $11.84, a penny lower. January at $11.95, down 3/4. The March at $12.03¼, down 0.25. May beans up a penny and a half at $12.06¼. July at $12.11¼, 2¼ higher. And next year's November's gained 5 cents to finish at $11.52¼. Mercantile exchange numbers, October live cattle at 99.7½, 92.5 higher, and lean hogs at 72.74, down 26 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, November contract, $83.11 a barrel, $1.86 higher. Ethanol in the November at 221¾. That's just about 0.8% lower. Natural gas at 342¾, down 1¢/0.7. And the heating oil or diesel fuel, 4¾¢ higher at $2.27¢. Gold futures trading at $1,371 as they finished out the trade, and 20 cents there, up a dime. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,133, now just about 71 points higher. The dollar at 76.93 is down 0.10 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon around the Urbana-Champaign area. Should be a few scattered showers. It'll be partly sunny. The high, just 64 degrees. Northeast winds around 10 miles an hour. They'll gust as high as 16. Chance of precipitation in the eastern central part of Illinois is about 30% for the day. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, a low of 39. That's right, a low of 39 degrees. North-northeast winds between 6 and 8 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly sunny skies, a high near 61 degrees. North-northwest winds then between 6 and 9. And then tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low of 42. West winds at 6 miles an hour. On Wednesday, skies should be sunny, the high near 70 degrees. West winds between 7 and 16. They'll gust up to 24. And Wednesday night, mostly clear, a low of 45. Thursday, sunny, and a high of 66 degrees. By the time we get Thursday evening, mostly clear, a low of 39. And Friday should be sunny, a high of 65. More on the ag weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and Moline. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. On the phone line with us today, Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, so what is it that farmers have been calling and asking you about most often in the last 8 to 10 hours? Well, you've only been at work 8 to 10. Oh, you probably worked last night, I bet, too, didn't you?
Yeah, we were in for a couple hours last night.
I'm sure you were.
I usually try to get in by 6 in the morning here to capture that last hour and 15 minutes of the electronic trade overnight. It varies from hour to hour. Of course, this morning here, with a little bit negative momentum in the commodity fund selling, the question is the top end? And basically, how low can we go in this correction? When you look at the chart there, it's obvious whenever we make a top, we drift lower for 4 or 5 days, and we try to get something to go again here. So market's anxiously waiting for a little bit of news to give reason to push back up. But producers are all over the place. Some are pretty well sold up. Some haven't sold a whole lot. It varies highly individually. And there's a lot of different, unique, different situations out there. On-farm storage, off-farm storage, specialty contracts, and just straight trying to market the grain throughout the marketing process here. So it's a dynamic market. There's a lot of market in front of us yet, Todd.
I suspect that they're all still feeling pretty friendly, the corn market, maybe even the bean market, on the idea that it's awful dry this fall yet in lots of areas. Certainly we have drought in some areas of the Midwest, to the east of us here, to the south of us, and the producers might want to wait it out for a while on their old crop sales. The question is, should they do that? And then what do we do about new crop?
Well, the dryness you're talking about reminds me of 1987, going to 88, dry in the fall, was dry all winter long, dry that spring, and boom, off we went on real dry weather concerns. And it was once in a 500-year thing, like these one in 500-year floods. So we'll see what this winter weather brings and how next spring materializes. But, yeah, guys, at this point in time, harvest should wrap up in a lot of portion here throughout the Midwest here this week. Basically, there's only a handful of times I've been successful in getting guys to sell once they fill up the grain bin or once they pay minimum storage. It's awful hard to turn around and get them to empty that bin or move the grain after they paid that minimum storage. So you're correct. Guys are sort of wanting to sit tight here. They've had made quite a few catch-up sales here on this rally, rewarding the market. And so I think most guys are pretty well, and gals are pretty well comfortable where they're at right now. Hopefully move higher here and get some more sales off higher. As far as next year, for guys that are able to lock in inputs and know where they're at, there's nothing wrong with getting that process started. The key thing to watch is when you start locking in inputs, you need to make some marketing to offset that and vice versa. There's been situations when one goes heavy one side and not covered on the other side, and it becomes a little bit of a challenge down the road if the conditions change quite a bit.
We talked quite a bit on Commodity Week about wheat in the world and whether it would need to lead the next step up or down, I suppose, either way. In the marketplace, it's off a bit today. What were the reasons that they were talking about on the squawk box for the sell-off in the wheat?
Well, wheat's sort of the old news here. It's going to be a leader. Hopefully it's not a leader to the downside on some profit-taking. We're seeing some areas that's been dry, getting a little bit of forecast or rain in their forecast here. Wheat's kind of wore out, per se. Wheat's one of these situations where it's been the victim of the spread, buying the corn, selling the wheat, buying the beans and selling wheat on the spread here. when you look at wheat in general, we still got ample supplies of old crop wheat around to go through yet. If wheat's going to be the next bull market, it's going to probably be later on this spring. The next leader's going to be the soybean complex as we go in this fall and winter here, as we get better handle on South America growing conditions.
And inspections this morning were pretty good.
Fair, you know, it's going to vary. Wheat, 20 million. Beans, 59 million. That's good. Corn, 28, a little disappointing. But that's going to be one of the reports that's going to be more important towards the end of the marketing year to make sure we ship out what we sold. What's going to be more important is the weekly export sales report here to continue to see huge sales that we've been seeing here over the last few weeks.
And I meant the inspections, of course, for soybeans, and China was in the market one more time. Crude oil moving higher for the day, and that should have been supportive, but wasn't really quite supportive as you thought might have been.
Well, I think it will over time. Crude's been consolidating here for the last 2 weeks. It dipped down to about $81 and found buyers up around 85, found sellers. We take out 85 on the upside here, and I'm talking December futures.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to see the technicians lay back into it and push on up to 90, 92. So they'll be watching that over the next few days. It's kind of hard to see these other commodities sell off if crude oil is going to remain strong.
You hear anything out of South America and planting progress and what their crop might look like?
10, 15% complete. Argentina's getting a little bit of moisture. You know, it'll become more of a factor as we get into November here. But that's going to be the big news item here as we move along. You know, the focus isn't here in the U.S. anymore now. It's just going to, weather guys are putting forecasts out for the southern hemisphere. Just because of the large world base for bean and bean products is going to put a lot of pressure on them to come through with a big crop.
Thank you so much for being with us for the day.
Very good. Enjoyed it, Todd.
Hey, bye-bye now.
Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. You can hear Kurt again if you'd like in a couple of ways, either on our website at willag.org, or you can dial this phone number at about 3:15 this afternoon, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal, updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily with either the opening or the closing numbers and a bit of analysis. 217-333-3434. You are listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from Stewart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stewart-peterson.com.
Now here's Dave with today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's proposed E15 label for fuel pumps is not sitting well with the ethanol industry. The proposed label outlined in orange reads, "Caution, use only in 2007 and newer gasoline cars, 2007 and newer light-duty trucks, and flex fuel vehicles. This fuel might damage other vehicles. Federal law prohibits use in other vehicles and engines." Ethanol industry officials say they are concerned that the E15 label will confuse customers and hurt the fuel's chances in the market. Cargill Chief Executive Greg Page says that agricultural commodity prices are not signaling a supply crisis. Page, in an interview, said global agriculture is in a, quote, constant state of disequilibrium. And while commodity prices remain well below 2008 record highs, stocks as a percentage of usage are less stable than one would have expected. Page says, quote, "The biggest element is the absolute price of oil." The Treasury Department today says that China, the largest holder of U.S. Treasury debt, increased its holdings for a second straight month in August after 2 months of declines. China's holdings of Treasury securities rose to $868.4 billion in August. That's an increase of 2.6% and followed a smaller gain of 0.4% in June. The debt figures are being closely watched. A drop in foreign demand could lead to higher U.S. interest rates. The U.S.-based nonprofit African Agricultural Technology Foundation says confined field trials of genetically engineered maize will begin in Kenya and Uganda this year once regulators approve it. Scientists from Monsanto and Research Body International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center developed the 12 varieties of water-efficient maize for Africa. The scientists aim for the drought-resistance GE maize to increase yields by 24 to 35%. AATF says that the resulting trial maize crop will be destroyed in accordance with governmental rules. Trials are also planned for South Africa, Mozambique, and Tanzania. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. Both programs and all the rest of our agricultural programming you can find on our website 24 hours a day and listen to it there or as a podcast downloaded directly to your computer. All the directions are at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, you know, renewable identification numbers are a great big part of the biofuels mix. I'll have more on how every gallon of ethanol is tracked and traded. The ethanol industry is required by law to assign every gallon of the fuel created and sold a REN, or a renewable identification number. It's a 38-digit serial number. That number contains the year of production, the producer ID, the facility ID, an equivalence value, a batch number, cellulosic, non-cellulosic, and some other information. Well, the 38 digits can also represent any volume of fuel from 1 gallon to just shy of 1 million gallons. That's a REN, but not the important part of the story. The important part is that RENs can be traded. These renewable identification numbers are used by petroleum refiners to prove to U.S. EPA they have blended the required amount of renewable fuel into their gasoline. However, refiners can get around blending renewables into gasoline themselves by purchasing excess RINs from refiners who have used more renewable fuel than was required of them. It's an interesting tidbit, and if you look at the actual ethanol blending figures, you'll make note that more ethanol has been blended in recent years than is required in total for any given year. It means there are RENs out there that can still be cashed in sometime in the future. University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin watches the REN market and says the price of an excess REN has been ticking up.
And it is interesting, in the last couple of months, the RINs market, which is those renewable identification numbers that are the technical means by which the blenders meet the renewable fuels obligations, there's a secondary market for those, and you can watch the prices. And they have been ticking up over the last month, which means that the blenders were concerned probably about a short corn crop scenario driving up the price of ethanol and making ethanol blending much less profitable than it has been in the last 18 months or so.
It is possible then for refiners to use their own or purchase and use other vendors' excess RINs to meet the blending requirement. It's an important note for the commodity markets. Irwin estimates the available RINs on the market are equivalent to between 200 and 400 million bushels of corn. If these were all cashed in to U.S. EPA, it would mean that same 200 to 400 million bushel amount would not be used to make new gallons of ethanol from corn. The refiners would shuffle paper, and the corn not used to make ethanol would be put back into the supply-side figures. And that usually translates into a lower price for a commodity. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Lisa Jones of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County, Illinois, is now on the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Lisa.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk about first basis for corn. Has it widened out, and how wide is it?
We've seen widened slightly from last week here in Champaign. We're currently 15 under the December, moved from 12 under the December, but I think we'll see that basis improve here once elevators in this area can start to get trains in, and we should see that pop back up to probably 12 under, if not higher.
So that's actually pretty narrow, but there are some places where basis is really wide.
I think it all just depends, like I said, on how full the elevator is. I mean, we've had this situation here where we kind of had to back off basis just a little bit so that we didn't plug until we can get some trains in here, like I said. So I think as locations can get the necessary trains in, you'll see basis in the area start to pop back up.
And if you go out to next year, how wide are you there?
We're 35 under the December 11 for fall of 11, and that's kind of stayed pretty steady. We haven't seen a lot of activity for guys wanting to do 11, so that's a pretty comfortable basis for us out that far.
Yeah, and I know that you're thinking that maybe some activity would be good on their part, though.
I think if a guy's going to do it, it needs to be minimal, and only after they've gotten their inputs locked in for 2011. We have seen guys start to get chemicals locked in for next year, but you know, we saw the beginning of last week where guys couldn't even get quotes on prices, so I definitely wouldn't be touching 11 unless you can get some inputs in, and even if you do it, probably 20% or less of your total production.
What are your expectations for the old crop corn that's just been harvested and for soybeans over the next couple of weeks on basis?
I mean, I don't know that we'll see basis pop probably until the 1st of November. We got to get bushels moved out of here, and we just won't see guys hauling out of the bin until they have to get some coring done. So I think all of the elevators, just because yields were so much lower this year, we should see basis improvement, corn and beans. Now the harvest is pretty much wrapped up in this area.
And what do you hear about harvest to the west of us?
They're still getting going. We have a facility in Canton, Illinois. Their producers are somewhere between 60 and 65% done on corn, probably closer to 80 on beans. So they'll wrap up as long as we can keep the rains away here, probably by the mid-next week.
And your bids for the day are?
We are 542 cash corn, 1154 cash beans.
Okay, Lisa, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Lisa Jones is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County, Illinois. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the agricultural cash grain marketplace. You can hear Lisa again on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. We do try to keep you up to speed on what's happening in the futures and the cash grain market right here on the Closing Market Report. Back in a couple minutes when we'll check in on the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National Chocolate Cupcake Day. It's also St. Luke's Day, patron of butchers. On this day in agricultural history in 1787, Robert Livingston Stevens was born, a U.S. engineer and ship designer. He invented the inverted T railroad rail and the railroad spike. In 1871, Charles Babbage died. He invented the adding machine, and among his other inventions is the cow catcher, the V-shaped front end on locomotives. In 1892, the first long-distance telephone line between Chicago and New York City was put in service. In 1931, Thomas Edison, the Wizard of Menlo Park, died. 33 years earlier, on this same date, Edison made electricity available for household use. And in 1969, cyclamate, a non-calorie sweetener, was banned, discovered in 1937, and widely used in the food industry. Cyclamate was found to cause cancer in laboratory rats. Cyclamate is still used in many countries around the world. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason in on the phone lines with us this afternoon. John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, John.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
Well, I'm colder now than I was when I came to work this morning, and it looks like I'm going to get a lot colder by the time we get around to this evening.
Absolutely.
Do I get to blame you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. But that is kind of what you get at this time of year, major variability in overall temperature patterns. That is one of the trademarks of this time of year during the fall period. And certainly that's what we're going to have here coming up. Quite a bit different than what we had a year ago, for example, when we were unseasonably cold across the whole middle portion of the country. Now we're in a pattern that features kind of a roller coaster ride with some warm periods, some cooler periods, but averaging out to be pretty much on the near normal side as we round out the month of October.
Last year we were unseasonably wet, and it looks like we're either unseasonably dry in a good portion of the area or seasonably dry. And lots of folks are starting to talk about analogous years, and 87 keeps coming up. What do you think?
Well, from a standpoint of the overall base state as to what we're in right now, of course, the strong La Nina event across the Pacific Ocean, that is the driver atmospherically as to what's going on in the middle portion of the country. And the fact that that event is so strong makes it comparable to some of the other strong events kind of out there. And again, kind of as we went through 87, that's kind of a comparable type of a situation. And so that's the base state that we're in right now, and we're going to have a very tough time getting out of that dry base state, if you will, over the winter period. As to that's one of the benchmarks, again, as to what we tend to have is dry conditions across much of the U.S. with that kind of an overall pattern.
Will our winter, do you think, be warmer than usual then, too?
We do. In fact, it likely will be much warmer than normal here coming up, and certainly the southern U.S. will have a very dry bias.
And then move to South America.
South America, it looks like we are seeing an improving situation. Of course, one of the focuses lately has been on northern Brazil and some of the dryness issues they've had across that region. They're going to have their best rain event in northern Brazil in quite some time. So an improvement in moisture conditions across those areas. And even in Argentina, where they have some dry pockets across the Argentine ag belt, we will have some better rains here coming up late this week and over the weekend. So we see an improving situation in both Brazil and Argentina over the next week or 10 days.
And then take up the wheat crop around the globe, and you can globe hop for me wherever you'd like.
Sure. Well, we continue to have issues in Australia for their crops, and the issues range from dryness in West Australia to excessive wetness across the eastern portion of that region. That is certainly problematic at this stage of the game, and that's probably the biggest issue here right now.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mm-hmm. John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. Thanks for being along with us today. You can always hear this report again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. We post to the website almost everything that we produce not long after it airs on the radio stations. You can also find our Commodity Week program. That's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. The Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, all at willag.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.